If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Main Outdoors.
Welcome to the Main Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Well, good evening and happy Father's Day out there, and welcome to the Main Outdoors Show. And this is your host tonight, Bob Lehman. And we have a great show lined up for you tonight, and thanks so much for tuning in on this happy, happy Father's Day. We are coming to you tonight from Studio 7, Blueberry Broadcasting Stations 103.9 FM, Bangor, 101.3 FM, Augusta, and 95 FM, Rockland.
95.1.
I'd say we pretty much have the state covered. And to all the ships at sea, as H.V. Kaltenbaum used to say. Do you remember him, Jim?
I do.
Do you? That's an old radio news guy,
yep.
H.V. Kaltenbaum,
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I do. I was just a kid, but I remember anyway. Let me introduce our expert technicians in the control room, namely Jimmy Layton. Say hello, Jimmy.
Well, hello, folks. Pull up a chair. It's going to be a great show tonight. Bobby's at the helm.
Yes.
Got Norm right here with me, backing me up.
Yep.
And actually, Norm is going to be sneaking in there with you.
Yes, he is a little late in the show.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to hear about his Quebec trip that he went on last week.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah, so hang on for that, folks. This is going to be, hang on to your seat for that one, because this is a biggie.
You know.
It's a biggie tonight.
I have a thing here that I've got to do, I want to do.
Yeah.
For all my friends.
Have you got some gigs coming up, Jim?
Well, I have some gigs coming up.
Yep.
We do a free open show every Tuesday night during the summer.
Yeah.
It starts at 6:30, 6 o'clock at the Blackbeards over here on the Audlin Road. Anybody and everybody's welcome.
Which night of the week again?
That's Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
Yeah, every Tuesday evening.
Every Tuesday.
Yep, and even Mr. Frazier is there, Dwight Frazier. He usually is there, but
Dwight.
Yeah, what I want to do is let everybody know that Blistered Fingers is coming up again next week, starting on the 20th, June 20th through the 23rd. That's down in Litchfield Fairgrounds, Litchfield, Maine, and we'd like to have everybody there. We got the Gibson Brothers, Danny Paisley. We got Little Roy and all kinds of fun. Of course, there's a lot of picking there. And your host, people there, is the Blistered Fingers Band. They're always wonderful. What a great time. Yep. That's all this week, starting on Wednesday, right through to Sunday.
Wow,
every
June night?
20th. Every day and every night.
Oh, baby.
Wow, I'll tell you what. You don't get a better bluegrass festival than Blistered Fingers down in Litchfield, Maine.
Yep.
Folks, get down there and support them and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, is Dwight Frazier going to be there?
You know, I don't know, but he may.
That'd be great. He's 96.
He's 96, and can he play the banjo?
We tried to get him on the show tonight, folks. But
you'd never know
busy.
He was
Father's Day is a tough day to get anybody.
Well,
did you have a good day on Father's Day, Jim?
I did. I had an excellent day. Yep. My wife and I and Hunter spent Father's Day working around the house and in my garage.
Yeah,
and cleaning up some of my antique cars, getting them ready for the summer.
Well, there you are. That's
and even
great.
My son is up visiting from Virginia. He'll be here next week.
Yeah.
So that'll do it.
Okay. How about Norman out there in the control room?
What's
Norman up to?
Well, I was gardening all afternoon.
Gardening.
Well, I had to catch up because I was gone for 9 days on a Quebec trip, so I had some gardening that needed to be done. But it was good. Flies weren't too bad.
Oh, okay.
You are lucky.
Okay, gentlemen, get ready for a big show tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, and as I said, we'll be talking to Norman a little later in the show. We're going to talk about his Quebec trip that he took last week. We'll be hearing him. And you haven't been down to Grand Lake Stream lately, have you, Norm?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what's going on down there? I think I looked on my little cell phone here, and they were running like 350 over the dam. That's way down from what it was.
Oh, and it's a good number.
And somebody said the water temperature, they looked it up this morning, it was something like, do you remember what that guy said
it was? I think Jeremy said it was 62, I think.
62.
I'm not sure where they were taking that temperature.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking, and I do think once in a while.
There you go.
That they've taken cooler water in at the hatchery now from there's new pipe setup they have there, and that cooler water will be going all the way down through the hatchery, and be ejected out into the hatchery pool, which will keep the river cooler.
Ooh.
I would think.
Yep.
Even during, well, the idea of it was to keep it cooler during the critical months of July and August, but I mean it'll stay cool right through
stay
the summer.
Cool throughout the summer.
Even beginning like today.
Yep.
I mean it'll stay cool, so I think a lot of fish will stay in the river more, longer and create better fishing all around. We'll have to wait and see.
You talk about fishing. I had a call from a lady, Zanetta Brody, this afternoon, a very good friend of mine from West Virginia, by golly. And she was telling me that her daughter, Ava, who is not Ava, but her other daughter that just loves to fish, was in a hot tub. And I was thinking to myself, I know she loves to fish. I hope she's not in there with her fishing rod.
Yeah, I think last weekend was free fishing day.
Yep, Laura.
It was. Yep. You have a crowd down at Fields Pond?
Oh, yes, we did.
Oh, I bet you did.
Oh, they had a great time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laura, I think, might have had her fishing pole with her in the hot tub.
Yes, sir. All right,
maybe
then.
Your sister, Ava.
Yeah. Well, I think I talked about a friend, David Klausmeier, being on the show later. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
And David is the editor of Fly Tire Magazine. That's a national magazine.
Wow.
And guess what? Fly tying and related subjects is what the magazine is about.
Yep.
Fly Tire Magazine, what of course.
Sure.
And that's what we're going to be talking about with David. Now, he's celebrating Father's Day with friends and relatives at a special party. Better take a few minutes off to give us a call around 7:30, and we'll be talking with David. And we'll be talking fly fishing and fly tying. So stay
Wonderful.
Tuned for that. And we're expecting a lot of questions. So the number to call, folks, is 1-800-966-1039. And remember, you need to dial the whole number, even if you're local. So remember that.
That goes for you,
okay,
too, Diana.
Okay, let's go right into our music and outdoor digest, shall we?
I'm the big boss, Bass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah. Okay, Jimmy, thank you very kindly. Appreciate that. All right, let's get right into our Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal, which I might mention that I have a two-page article in this month, the Just Fishing column, and that is on Grand Lake Stream's famous fishing pools. That's a two-page article. It's really... it'll be a long while to get put that together, and we've got it into the Northwood Sporting Journal in the month of June right here, so check it out. And I ran into a fellow the other day, and he said, well, I read your article, Bob, but there should have been a map in there. Well, if you want to see the map of Grand Lake Stream, you want to buy one of my books, Fly Fishing Maine.
Yeah.
And on page 7, there's a full map of Grand Lake Stream, and it shows you where the pools are, okay? Every one of them are. From the dam pool all the way down to Big Lake.
Now, where can I find that book?
Where can I find my book?
Yes.
How about General Appliance and Brewer? You've got a big rack of them over there.
Yes,
and, of course,
sir.
There's a lot of port shops around that have it. And if you can't find it anywhere, just look my name up in the telephone book and give me a call.
There.
My number is 966-1039. No, that's not.
No, that's
my number.
That's the radio station. The radio station.
989-7696. That's my number. 989-7696. But you call here. It's 1-800-966-1039 if you've got a question for us. And this is tonight on the show, so here we go, that we call. Atlantic salmon are surging in the Penobscot River right now, and this is the big month of migrations. I don't have the update count on the Milford Dam, the first barrier in the river right now. I would guess at least 200 to 300 or so fish have been lifted over the barrier as we're talking right now. And, of course, stripers are starting to move in. It's the first time the stripers begin to show in the lower Penobscot River drainage, and most of those would be around the 15 to 18 inches or so.
Break time.
And we're going to take a break, but we'll come back right after these messages, so stay with us. And welcome back to the Maine Outdoor Show. It's Bob Lehman, your host tonight. And we're kind of sticking to fishing things going on tonight. We have a guest coming up shortly, right after the next hard break. And I think you'll want to stay tuned to hear David Klausmeier. David Klausmeier is the editor of Fly Tire, a national magazine. And he'll be with us to talk about, guess what, fly tying and fly fishing. And that'll be very interesting, so stay tuned for that. And also stay tuned for a trivia question of the week, which I'll be giving away one of my hand-tied flies if you have the correct answer. And we'll get to that shortly, even probably before the break, okay? So stick along. And where I was just talking about, what was I talking about? Stripers, I guess, wasn't I? Stripers, yeah. In the Penobscot, yep. River.
Right.
And they're starting to get a few, I guess, downriver, 50 to 18 inches or so. It's a lot of fun on a fly rod and on flies. And I think the best fly to use, I have found over the years, and people have sent me flies, and they have come up with a fly called, of all things, sucker bait. That's what they call it. It's in my trolling flies book and has been in there for years. And the guy who gave me the original sucker bait fly said it's great for stripers. And just a few months ago, I got another one from a fellow down in Callis on a sucker bait fly. And it's exactly the same fly that's in my book, has been in my book since 1984, I think it is. Trolling flies are still selling well, by the way. And I can tell you how to tie the fly very simply. It's I doubt if you could buy one somewhere, but if you know somebody who can tie flies, it's got a black marabou wing. It's about a 6x or 8x long shank on a number two hook, and it's got a black marabou wing and a bright orange body, and that's all you need. And I'm telling you, the first time I used it years ago in the Penobscot, I walked down there for my shop I had many years ago, many moons ago, you might say. Somebody said there was stripers in the river, so I walked down. I tied that fly, walked down, cast it out, and I bet there was five stripers came for it at once. I couldn't believe it, because they were all small, you know, 15 inches or so, but it was a lot of fun. And as I said, I've had a lot of people tell me about that fly, that they've used it, and they've had really great luck with it on stripers. So give it a whirl. I think you'll find out that I'm very truthful with it. And we also want to talk a little bit about Atlantic salmon trolling. And the best time of day, of course, we'll talk about best flies, the speed of trolling, and where in the lake to fish. Well, my son Bobby has had awfully good luck this spring fishing for landlocked salmon at Branch Lake. And he goes right after ice out. And, but of course, when the smelt start running, that's when he shines, you might say, because he trolls his favorite flies, the red and white. Bob's red and white works real good, and he's got some other ones he uses with excellent results. And he doesn't go slow. He whips right along. He's got a big boater, so I mean, he can't really slow that down too much, so he goes right along. And he uses a sink-and-tip line, which gets him down maybe a few feet, you know, so that the fly doesn't V on the top of the water. You want to get down a little bit. And you want to spend a lot of time off in the inlets, if you know where they are, because that's where the spelts will be running. Now, of course, right now the spelts have stopped running pretty much, and but they're still in the area, you'll find. So that's where you want to go, off the area, say 50 yards or 30, 40 yards out from the inlets, and hang around up and down, around. And if you know where they are, you're familiar with the lake, check them out and do your trolling there. Now, I know at Branch Lake, they've had good luck in the lower lake. There's not as many camps down in the lower lake, and it's quieter down there, and there's a lot of smelts running some of the brooks on the right and on the left of the lower lake, as well as the outlet sometimes, so near the outlet. They also run near sand beaches, believe it or not. When I had a couple of camps down there at Sand Beach, and I'd go out when the smelts were running at night, and there'd be a lot of smelts actually right there spawning right on the sand beach in front of my camp. It's unbelievable, but a lot of fish do that. Brook trout will also do that. They'll spawn on the sand beach in some of these little ponds where they have no, you know, spring fed, no really place to get into for moving water. So they spawn right on beaches and stuff. They don't have the best luck in doing that, but they do have enough to keep some, say, a population in the lake.
Where's that in relation to the cow and the calf?
What's that, Jim?
Where's that in relation to the cow and the calf?
I didn't
down at Branch Lake. On Branch Lake, the cow and the calf.
Cow and the calf is in the main lake.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Cow and the calf is a popular place to fish for togue.
Yes, we've caught togue there.
Towards the deep side.
Yeah.
And they run about 60, 70 feet, drops right off there.
Right.
I've caught togue there years ago. I haven't fished it lately, but we used to get a lot of togue there. I knew a gentleman out there. I used to watch him a lot. A fellow by the name of Guy Carroll. I talk about Guy in my latest book, Salesman Angler. And he has a whole chapter. He was a veteran on catching togue. Yep. And he'd sew on a smelt like nobody else. You know, he'd get down through the mouth with his heavy monofilament and out through the vent, and he'd make a loop around the front of the smelt, and yep. Then he'd get down through the vent and tie on a little treble fly.
Right.
And that's what he'd troll. And he'd take a look at it beside the boat with his trolling speed and make sure it wasn't flipping over and over and over. He liked to go straight, you know.
Right.
And so we'd check that out. We're all going good, and then he'd start letting that line out little by little and till he got the depth he wanted. And he spent a lot of time off the cow and the calf at Branch Lake. And Tunk Lake is another great trolling lake for big togue, yep. Big togue.
Big togue and water right. Salmon.
And the record, you know, the record togue came from, I bet you didn't know where.
Beach Hill.
Beach Hill is right. Yes, a fellow by the name of Hollis Grindle. Do you remember how
how
big the togue was?
38 pounds?
It was 31 pounds.
31.
I'm not absolutely positive, but I think it was 31 pounds and a few ounces. And that was back in '60s, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
quite a while ago.
You know, I talked to a fellow, last name was Black. He was in his 80s. This is quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he showed me a picture. He carried it in his wallet of a togue they pulled through Grand Lake, East Grand, I guess it is. And he said it took him 2 hours to chop the hole big enough to get it up through. And it was laying on ice in the store nearby there in Danforth. Yeah. And it weighed 37 pounds.
Ooh, boy.
And he said there was another one caught that was bigger than that.
Yeah.
And he actually showed it on the scales in that picture.
Yeah. Well, he probably didn't get it registered.
They never registered it.
Yeah. But you see, there's a lot of fish. There may have been records that never got checked,
that's
you know.
That's right. I believe
especially
that.
Big brook trout, because they don't want people to know where they caught them, you know.
Yeah.
They're secretive, these fishermen.
But he was quite proud of that. And quite
also, you know, there's another saying that's lived on for all these years is, are all fishermen liars or do only liars fish?
Both.
That's an old one.
Hollis's togue was 31 pounds, 8 ounces.
Yes, Hollis Grindle.
And it was in 1958 at Beach Hill Pond.
Well, I wasn't too far off.
No, you're pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew the Grindles. They had a camp down on Flanders Pond. Not Hollis, but I think it's this big family of Grindles from Ellsworth Falls.
Yep.
And I didn't know Hollis personally, but I knew some of the Grindles at Flanders Pond many, many years ago. That's when I had my first camp.
Oh, yes.
And down there, and it's a beautiful sand beach on the north end, man. We had brought the kids up there, and it was great. I want to also talk about brook trout fishing.
Yeah.
And I went brook trout fishing this week with my friend Bob Cust, and we went to a place that's not very secretive. I won't tell you where we went on it, but we went to Sunkay Stream, and the water was wicked high and awfully cold. You couldn't hold your hand in it for very long. It was that cold. And I couldn't believe how cold it was. There must be a lot of streams that are still holding pretty high. I know we went to one a couple of weeks ago that was very high. That was a little further north. And we caught quite a number of trout. They weren't very big, but there was a lot of fun. Up to 9 inches, some of them. But you know that Bob did catch a couple to take home. But it was fun all day to catch trout like that. We caught them all. We had a lot of risers. We had a lot of good fish on, but we didn't land them.
What were you using?
10 or 12 inches, but we didn't land them.
What about flies? What were you using?
Well, I was just going to get to that. There was a hatch going on of what I call the trichos, a Trichoptera, and Trichoptalidae. And it's a little mayfly. It's the first mayflies of the season. They're kind of dark and kind of gray. And there was a real big hatch of them that took place around 10 to 2 in midday with the sun out, and they were popping all over the place, and all sizes of fish were taking them, just gobbling them right up. And it was a lot of fun, but I didn't have the exact match. So I went through my stuff, and I come up with, I think I told you a week or two ago, that I came up with, of all things, a black gnat, and it worked great. And we got to take a break right here. And we'll be back after the break with our outdoor trivia question. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back with the Maine Outdoors show. And I was talking about trout fishing and talking about the flies that we used last week or 2 weeks ago with the Trico hatch. And this past week, there was no Trico hatch where we were. And I had some black gnats. Because they work great, you know, and you never know from week to week. So we observed some of the hatches. There were a few rises at Sunkays. And Sunkays gets fished more heavily now than it ever did before, but you can find some spots there. Sunkays is in my book, Fly Fishing Maine, so then there's a net map of it. So there's a number of places you can put in and go up and go down, and you can find a lot of spring holes. There's a couple of them marked on a map in that book. And we got more of a place way up that we go that it takes a little time to get into, and you have to paddle over beaver dams, and it's a mess. But sometimes we get good fishing, and sometimes we don't. But we used what we found worked better than anything else, and there was a few rises on something that looked yellow. So I identified it, and it looked like a light Hendrickson. And this time of year, the Hendricksons are usually the dark Hendrickson. But the light Hendrickson definitely was the mayfly, and I didn't have any with me. I didn't. But so I used a, guess what? What did you use, Noam?
I don't have a clue.
You know what I used? And it worked. Not 100%, mind you, but we caught fish with it. And that's what I go to that fly, even if there isn't any around. A grasshopper. Yellow-bellied grasshopper. That son of a gun. I've even caught salmon down at Grand Lake Steam on that fly, believe it or not. I mean, I don't know. At different times of year, you can put it on. Even at West Branch of Penobscot, I've caught salmon and brook trout on that fly up there. And you wouldn't think so, but I have.
You know, Bob, that's the best color to use for anything on field spawned. Yeah. Anything yellow, you'll catch them left.
Well, yellow and brown, that's a good combo, I guess. Yep. It seems to work. I don't know. It's got a little hackle up front, you know, and it's got legs and all this stuff, and so.
Have you fished? I got a question for you, Bob. Have you fished up in LaGrange lately?
Yeah, I have.
Had any
Not
luck?
Lately.
Any luck up there?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes depends on where you go.
Yeah, that's
in LaGrange.
You
can go to a bog hole, or you can go to a spring-fed stream and do well. So you don't really know. Do
that's
you?
Right.
I mean, you got to do the right time of day. You got to have the right flies, and you got to be fishing flies or worms. I don't know. Because Jimmy uses worm. Jimmy uses wormies, but I don't like to get my fingernails all dirty.
I usually clean them off. I put them in my mouth for a minute and warm them up before I put them on the hook.
Yeah. Well, I guess early in the season, the worms probably work better than anything.
Yeah. I do fly fish, Bob.
So stick with us, folks. We're going to have the trivia question before you know it.
Yeah, we're trying to get a hold of our guest.
We got a call coming in now. It might be our guest, so we're going to talk to him if that's our guest. So we'll see just a minute if he is on the line. And if he is, we'll talk to him. And is that David? It's not David.
Not
it's
yet.
Another caller.
Yeah.
Somebody calling in to want to know what flies to use to go fishing with. No.
You know, well, I'll have to confess, my favorite fly was a Royal Coachman.
Well, Royal Coachman is a good fly. There's wet versions and there's dry versions and you can fish it both ways no matter which one you use.
Yep, I like the wet fly.
Yeah, and different sizes too. The small one works pretty good, the big ones. Yeah, it's a fly that's always come in and made my day sometimes.
When I was probably 9 or 10 years old, I grew up in limestone. I was fishing below the limestone dam. Probably shouldn't have been there, but the fish weren't taking angleworms.
Yeah.
but they were taking the spiders on the water.
Yeah.
So I found a piece of black sponge, and I put that on my hook, and I took some rubber bands, small ones, and tied knots on them so it looked like little legs, and cut them.
Yeah.
And that was my first fly I ever used, and boy, did it work good.
Did you try calling?
Yes, I don't think we're going to be able to get Dave on the phone tonight.
He's having a party. He probably forgot all about it.
That's what I suspect.
So if he doesn't call in tonight, we'll have him another night for sure, because he really wants to come on the show. But, you know, Father's Day is a tough day to get guests, and nobody wants to leave for having parties and fathers. We went to, Ellis and I went to a restaurant this morning, and we had to wait half an hour just to get a seat. And ordinarily, you can go in there and it'll seat you right off, but it was so busy. And Mother's Day was the same thing there. So Mother's Day and Father's Day, the restaurants was very busy today.
And
that's
Veterans
a good day,
day
for the restaurants, I guess.
Veterans Day is usually that way, and Memorial Day.
Yeah, you know, the legislature has been busy the last few weeks in Augusta.
They have.
Yeah, and as Greg mentioned last week, the moose hunting, they've got the moose hunting proposals are all done and about ready to go, and it looks to me like they've upped the amount of moose to be taken in the season of 2019, and let's see now, I got last year was on the antlered, it was 2,005, and this year's total is 2,130.
Yep, a few
and
more.
And the antlerless was 450 last year, and this is 200 more this year, 650.
You know, we had a caller a little while ago, and she said that her son has put in for 26 years in a row and
never got a permit.
No, but he's known others that right around that have got multiple times.
Yeah, I never know. Never know.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, you can buy a lot of chances.
Yeah.
You know, bonus points.
Yes.
You can... And they count each year, year after year after year. So after a while, they add up. So money talks, right?
Money talks, yes.
All it takes is money.
Well, they've cut the any moose down by five, from 45 to 40.
Well,
it's not a big cut there, but it's a little bit of a cut. And some of the districts, they've moved around a little bit, I notice here. But all in all, it's pretty close to the same. Another thing they've done down there is on the fall turkey season, wild turkey season. And the WMDs 15, 16, 17, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25, there was five wild turkeys, either sex or any age, per permit holder.
Yeah, that's in my area.
Yep.
Yeah,
16, and in 26. WMD 26, you get three wild turkeys, either sex and any age, per permit holder.
Wow.
And in WMD 28, two wild turkeys, either sex and any age per permit holder. Then in 10, 13, 18, 19, 27, and 29 is one wild turkey, either sex, any age per permit holder. And then, of course, 1, 9, and 14, or 1 through 9, 14, is close to taking of all turkeys.
Now, I wonder how many turkeys per year you're allowed, or can you go to each one of them WMDs and bag out?
I don't think so.
Have you guys ever been turkey hunting?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
You know about, have you ever shot one out of a tree?
No. Never have.
Yeah. Did you know it was illegal to shoot one out of a tree?
No, I wasn't aware of that, though.
Now you tell me.
Well, you are now.
I'm now on notice.
It says right here, a person may not take a turkey while the turkey's in the tree. And that's I've never noticed that before, and I don't know, a lot of people wouldn't do that anyway. But
first turkey I ever saw was in a tree.
Well, they're not usually in a tree. Usually they're on the ground, but they spend their nights in the tree, fly up and roost like chickens, I guess.
Yep, they can't get away from bobcats though.
Yeah, Well. I see turkeys everywhere. Golly, I mean, turkeys. You can't take a ride in the country without seeing turkeys crossing the road or in these fields or all over the place. Because right now they're setting the females are on their nests, on their clutches of eggs, you might say, and they'll be out of sight or try to be. And there'll be a few a few adults around. What do they call the adult turkey?
A tom?
Huh?
Tom turkey.
Yes, toms. Yep. And then the next stage down of males is what?
Jake.
Right, right. Okay, that's right. Yeah. And do you know there's a youth fall turkey hunting day?
Yes.
And Saturday preceding the opening day of the fall wild turkey hunting season.
Huh. You know, speaking of new babies coming out, we've got, I think, two, maybe three sets of mallard, I think they're all mallard ducks, babies, coming to our dock now.
Yeah.
And one has, I think, eight, and another one has probably around 10 or so. I'm not quite
already.
Sure. Already, yep.
Wow, and that is.
We know we got more coming.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
You know, it takes a lot of those young ducks, those little chicks. You know what kills a lot of them?
Pickerel and turtles. Yep.
Turtles and pike.
You know, yep. the snapping, the big snapper.
Yep.
Those big snappers, they creep along underneath and crab them.
We had one baby with
they
cake
for,
missing
you know,
leg.
Adults, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have one baby that's missing a leg.
Yeah. Missing a leg?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he got away anyway.
Yeah, you'd think he'd swim in circles, but he gets right in amongst the other little ducks so that he can swim along with them.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's do the general appliance ad right
sure.
now, and then right after that we'll have
the
trivia question of the week. And Norm's going to read that shortly. But let's do the trivia, and then we'll take a break. Okay. And the trivia, and then before we do the trivia, let's do the general appliance ad of the week. And how could anybody not go to the general appliance in Brewer? And that's definitely the place to go for all your camp appliances as well as your home appliances.
That's right.
And they have gas lights, gas ranges, gas refrigerators, gas freezers, or top-of-the-line compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Hey, thank you, James. Appreciate it. Yep.
Thrones fit for king and queens.
Yeah. And they're located at General Appliance at Center Street, 91 Center Street in Brewer. And they are your non-electric connection. It's a family-owned business since the 1920s when it was Perkins Appliance, I guess, a number of years ago.
Yes, it was.
And now Al Elkin owns it, and the name of it is General Appliance, and he's a piece of a guy. You ought to go in and say hello, even if you don't buy anything, I'm telling you. And they always have a sale on dented materials,
yeah,
you know.
Distressed. Refrigerators. Yeah. New ones, but they may have a scratch or a little dent on them.
They have well-known brand names like Sorvel.
Yep.
And
a lot of heaters.
Yep. And the compost toilets. They are the place to get a compost toilet.
They are.
One thing about the compost toilets, there is no running water, no plumbing, no septic to be had.
That's right.
They don't need one. And there's no leach field problems.
No mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes.
No flies.
That's a big thing, no mosquitoes.
Yep.
And no black flies, especially at night, no mosquitoes. Can you imagine going out to the outhouse in the middle of the night and all those mosquitoes? And I got attacked this morning just walking the dog.
Been there and done that many times.
Yeah. And then there's no environmental problems either,
no,
Jim. Yeah,
no,
right?
That's right.
And advanced technology.
They are as green gets, I'll tell you.
So anyway.
That.
General Appliance and Brewer, that's the place to go, easy to find. Take the old Bank of Brewer Bridge, take a right at the light, turn a left, you're on Center Street, and on the right they got practically the whole block, and can't miss them. General Appliance in Brewer, and there you go.
Yes, sir. Stop in and see them. The nicest people you'll ever deal with, I'll guarantee it.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Now let's have the trivia question, and then we'll take a break, okay?
Sure.
And Norm, is the number to call, if you have the answer to this question, the number to call is 1-800-966-1039. If you have the answer to this question, and if you do have the correct answer, you will get one of my hand-tied flies, and we'll mail it out to you. And Norm, what is the question?
Well, the question has to do with Atlantic salmon. Name three of five stages that Atlantic salmon go through in growth to adult. So again, it has to do with the Atlantic salmon. Name three of the five stages that Atlantic salmon go through in growth to adult.
Okay, folks, you've got the question. Name three of the five growth states of Atlantic salmon, and we'll be right back.
Well, actually, we are on.
We're not going to take a break.
No, because we have no music for this.
We're just waiting for the call.
This time. Okay. No. So give us a call, and we'll have a hand-tied flight for you. And that's a tough question. Maybe it's too tough.
Stay tuned.
I mean, you know, I'll give you a hint on one of them. It's the egg from the egg. And then, of course, from the egg stage, it goes up to...
No, I can't give him any more. There's only five stages, and you want three.
Oh, we got a caller right here.
Well, okay, we got a caller. Here's the answer, probably.
Hopefully they do. Yep. I bet I know two of them, but I don't know all of them.
You want to answer the question?
Yeah.
Well, you'll remember them, Jim, when you hear them.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah, yeah. It's five stages, really. It's just
The last stage is eating. I know that. Eating them.
Eating.
The frying pan stage. Yeah.
That's a pretty good stage. It's eating stage, yes.
That's right. That's the best. Yeah, we get a caller.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well.
I bet this fellow knows.
Okay, we have a caller.
We do, but it has nothing to do with the question. Oh. He has a question for us.
Okay. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, I'm here. Young man, I love you. I love your show. You guys do a heck of a good job.
Okay, what's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Stephen in Concord Township.
Oh, wow. What's your question?
Well, when you drive to work in the morning, how many grouse do you see? The second part of that question, how many turkeys do you see? The third part of the question is, why can't we hunt turkey like we hunt grouse right till December and shoot one a day with a possession limit?
That's a good question. I wish I could answer it for you, but I can't. We need a biologist here.
They say the turkeys do not disturb rabbit nests.
Wow.
Grouse nest, woodcock nest, and eat everything else on the ground. Of course they do. They're carnivorous.
Well, so do rabbits.
Somebody should pull their head out of the sand.
Snowshoe hares do it well. And other animals also eat all those things. So, but apparently there's a lot of food. We don't have the deer we used to have. So
rabbits as red squirrels.
Yeah, I know.
How come nobody pushes that one? And yes, we should be spring bear hunting.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But you guys do a heck of a good show, fellas. Oh, I love hearing it.
You're very kind. Thank you ever so much. Thank you for calling in.
If you could poke the bear with a stick, and I don't mean the bear, but the fishing game.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
And we have a caller that wants to answer the question.
Okay. When your name, sir? Oh, ma'am.
My name? My name's Selfish.
And where are you calling from?
Parkman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What, do you have an answer?
Egg, fry, smoke.
Norm, is that correct?
He's going to have to repeat it because I couldn't make it out.
Egg.
Try again.
Egg. Fry.
Smoke. Yep.
I believe he's got
That's it.
I think she's got it. Absolutely. Well, I'll give a follow on
sure
five of them for you. There's the egg, the fry, the smolt, the pa, and the grilts. And then, of course, the adult. Okay? And you get to, you've won. And we'll get a hand-tied flight to you, ma'am.
Yay.
And you stay on the line and give Jimmy or Norman out in the control room your address so we can be sure and get it to you first thing tomorrow. Okay.
Thank you.
You've been fishing?
Yep. I got turkey this season, too.
Yep.
You got a turkey?
On the crossbow.
Wow. Wow, that's great.
That's excellent. How old are you, by the way?
9 years old.
Oh, good. Nine.
Congratulations. Yeah. Good for you.
Okay.
That tickles me right to death.
All righty. Yep. Hey, well, it's good for you. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
You hang on. We're going to get you.
We'll have a hand-tied, how about a brook trout fly? Would you like to have that?
Yes.
Okay, well, we hope you catch a fish with it. We'll send it right to your name, sir. Thanks a little so much for calling in.
Don't hang up now,
Norm. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you
okay, good night.
You hang on.
Bye-bye. Now, don't hang up, okay? Okay. I thought that was a lady. It was a young man, I think.
A young girl,
I think. Yeah, well, that's too bad, but that's all right. Okay. I was going to call, I've got to get Norman back here to talk about fishing.
Yep. He'll be in a moment.
Okay. But in the interim, of course, the monarch butterflies are starting to show up, Jim. Did you know that?
Yes.
Have you seen some out to up to Fields Pond?
I have a few, not many, but there's been a lot of white millers. I call them millers.
Yeah, well, you're always going to have millers.
Yeah, and brown ones.
But the population migratory of the eastern monarch butterflies is overwintering in Mexico, as you know, and was up significantly for the first time in 12 years, and a 144% increase, says here, according to the World Wildlife Fund.
I think the winds were in their favor is the reason why.
Yeah. Researchers think favorable weather played a role, and also there has been significant effort to conserve monarchs across the United States by cultivating more nectar plants and the milkweed, of course, where the monarchs lay their eggs.
Yes.
And as the migration continues north, first-generation monarchs give way to second generations. Did you know that, Jim?
Yes. You know, I was told somewhere that it takes about between five and eight generations to get from South America back up to up here in the north.
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
I don't know about that.
I read that somewhere. So yeah. It took several generations to do it.
Some of these second and third migrators, some of the early ones, rather than the older ones, are fresher and brighter. And some stay and breed when they hatch, while others continue the push north. So that's something. Another thing I wanted to mention, if we got time, did you want to talk about your fishing trip in Quebec?
I can't wait.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's start right from the beginning. You left Maine at 4 o'clock in the morning, and when did you arrive in your destination?
Cluparo. We got there at we had a flat tire, so it delayed us, but and we were only about probably 7 or 8 miles from the lodge when we had a flat tire, but we got there around 5 o'clock.
In the afternoon,
right.
Yeah, time for a little fishing, or did you just rest?
No, we don't fish the evening. Our fishing license is good for 7 days.
Yeah.
And so if we fish that night, we would have to buy an extra evening, which we don't bother. We just arrive and we unload our gear and get ready for the fish the next day, and they have supper ready for us.
Can you get your license right there at the camp?
Yes, they sell it right there.
And how much does it cost you each?
$50.
How much? $50?
$50 for 7 days of fishing.
Is that American?
Well, that's not too bad.
That is Canadian currency.
Canadian.
Yeah. And I can't remember the exchange rate. But
so they feed you right there, 3 meals, 3 squares a day.
We have what they call the American plan, which they feed us. And they stopped that a few years ago, but because we're such a large group, I think we're probably there. The largest group that they get, this year we were 12. And so they just assume see us coming back, and it works out well for us because the guys don't want to cook. So
what's the name of this place?
The name of the place is Cluparo.
Cluparo?
Cluparo. It's a, I guess if you say it in English, it'd be closer to Cluparo. It's Claparo.
Northern Quebec. What's the name of, is that the one that drains into the reservoir?
No, that would be Petmoquin.
Okay.
And that would be Lake Richard. I've been there, too, over the years. But, no, this is...
That's where I went once.
Right. I remember seeing the article on the wall. Well, it was when I went,
For heaven's sake.
But, no, at Cluparo, it's... we basically head out western Maine to cross over in Jackman. From there, we go to Quebec City. And from Quebec City, we head northeast to Chicoutimi, which is about 2.5 hours from Quebec City.
Yep.
Then another 20 miles across the Saguenay River, and we go into the woods for 70 miles.
Holy mackerel. How many of you were there?
We were 12 this year.
12 guys?
12 guys, yeah.
Wow.
Great bunch
of
guys.
You had 3 or 4 cars then? You had quite a...
We were 4 vehicles, yeah.
Yeah?
Wow. Yeah. No, it's very good. I mean, it's all trout fishing.
All trout.
Yeah, speckled trout, or in Quebec they call it la truite mouchetée.
Yeah, there's a pond there, a lake, or what?
The main lake is Lake Archer. It's a pretty good-sized lake. And then they've got 30-some-odd ponds that you can fish.
Yeah.
Nice thing about it is when you're on a pond, it's only you and the guy fishing with you. There's nobody else there.
There's no streams, or must be outlets.
There are some streams. Not many people, if any, that I know of have fished the streams. there is an inlet into the lake that people will fish there. One guy last year caught a 4-pounder in the inlet.
Oh, man, that's a nice trout. Huh?
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. And
what's the biggest one you've caught there?
Biggest one I've caught? Not very big. I mean, the biggest one I caught was, I can't remember if it was 16 or 17 inches.
Well, that's a nice brookie.
It's still a nice brookie. Oh, yeah. It's true. It's still a very nice fish.
You troll, don't you? We troll.
I mean, there are some guys who will fly fish. I mean, troll with, tandem streamers.
Yeah.
But the majority of the guys will fish with garden hackle. Basically.
Really?
Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah, you use spoons. Well, actually, we have one guy who brings 2,000 crawlers.
No. Oh, my God.
Yeah. My man.
And we just, it makes it easy for everybody. We just divide it up amongst, I mean, we pay our portion of it, and we never run out of crawlers.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And it's great.
I always thought you guys, I know we did, we fish lures, like daredevils and things.
Well, some guys try those, too, but the lion's share of the fishing gets done with, like, a Williams spoon.
Yeah.
And about a 2.5 ounce to 3 ounce. Yep. I know. And, people use that for trolling, and you got about an 18-inch leader behind the...
You got a phone call coming in?
Yeah, I got a couple phone calls here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
A lot of times when they're fishing up there, they'll use those copper spoons with an orange with an orange center on it.
You been up there, Jim?
No, but I watched a lot of TV.
Oh, yeah, what TV?
I love watching fishing shows.
Yeah. I've been up there in Labrador and up to... because Labrador's all fly fishing, more of it.
Yeah.
But I fished... up to that place that he talked about earlier, then I was, and I use flies on the outlets. So I fish the outlets to get some nice fish.
Yeah.
I know I caught a big trout there one day, maybe 12 inches, and he was real fat, but there was this thing hanging out of his mouth. I don't know what the heck that is. Huh. So I grabbed a hold of it and gave it a pull, and it was a lemming.
Oh, no
He
kidding.
Popped right out, and I just, God's name, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And it was a good size animal, I tell you.
I
jumped.
That's
you know something?
Show.
We gotta run here.
We gotta run.
Yeah, we gotta run. I mean, time's up, folks. It's hard to believe, but, next week, Paul will be back, and I'll be fishing, and I won't be here. So until then, this is
the Maine Outdoors.